Businesses need to think beyond today. That's why ADP uses data-driven insights to design HR solutions to help your business find more success tomorrow. HR, time, talent, benefits, payroll. ADP, always designing for people.
Not a millionaire, darling. To retire at St. James Place, you don't have to be. Take a look at St. James Place. It just might be more affordable than you think. Learn more at stjamesplaceinfo.org.
Hello, everybody. I'm Ed Robinson, and welcome to the season finale of Extra Base Hit. This is the show that gets you caught up on anything and everything happening around the world of Major League Baseball. Coming up on the season finale of the program, we have an interview with Cade Kistner. Cade is a publisher for Inside the Phillies. Inside the Phillies is a blog site on Fan Nation, which is powered by Sports Illustrated. The blog site covers Major League Baseball's Philadelphia Phillies. We recap the Phillies' 2022 World Series run, what's next for the Phillies, and more, plus the winners of the 2022 Major League Baseball Season Awards. That's coming up on the season finale of the program. First, I'd like to start off with my top three storylines. I want to start off with the 2022 World Series champion, Houston Astros. Man, what a postseason. Matter of fact, what a season in general for the Astros. From start to finish, they dominated and then some. Offensively, they handled their business with the bats from the likes of Yordan Alvarez, also Kyle Tucker. You know, you had the bats that were swinging with the likes of Yordan Alvarez, Kyle Tucker, also Alex Bregman, Jeremy Pena, Yuli Gurriel, also Trey Mancini. How could you forget about Jose Altuve? And then with the defensive side, with the catches of Christian Vasquez and Martin Maldonado. And let's not forget about the pitching rotation that was phenomenal. Justin Verlander, Lance McCullers Jr., also Rafael Montero, Christian Javier Valdez, Jose Urquidy. I mean, the list goes on and on. And from start to finish, hitting and pitching, Houston handled their business. And what a season it was for them, giving the Astros their first World Series title in 5 years. Of course, the last time they won a World Series championship was in 2017, beating the Los Angeles Dodgers. So the Astros, they can only go up from here. But, you know, the one thing that always hurts a team after they win a championship is free agency. To the victor goes the spoils. And I know there's going to be a lot of spoils coming real soon for the Astros in terms of endorsements, also in terms of doing TV and radio appearances. But also the negative side to that is free agency. And a lot of players that were doomed for major contracts, they're going to want more money, and rightfully so. It's a business, and you've done great things winning the title this year, and now you should be paid. You should be compensated properly, but that's neither here nor there. Once again, a big special congratulations to the Houston Astros for winning their first World Series title in five seasons. And, of course, the parade in downtown Houston was phenomenal. A lot of the fans in Houston showed up to downtown Houston to celebrate their winning Astros. And I'll tell you one thing, the Astros, within the last decade, almost decade and a half, they've been consistent in terms of just being in the playoffs every year. As I mentioned earlier, with the likes of Jose Altuve, also Yordan Alvarez, Justin Verlander, those guys have just really been phenomenal. And the last time the Astros won the World Series, Altuve and Verlander were the only two players that were on that World Series team for Houston in 2017. So again, a big special congratulations to the Houston Astros for winning the 2022 World Series championship. I mean, from start to finish, from the regular season on to the playoffs, they were just phenomenal in every sense of the word, getting it every sense of the imagination, and just getting it done in terms of both on the offensive side and the defensive side of things. It was just great. And you can't go wrong with that. And, of course, Alex Bregman was also on that team as well. Can't forget about Alex Bregman. Alex Bregman was on that 2017 World Series team. So, again, big ups and congratulations to the 2022 World Series champion, Houston Astros. My next storyline is going to be Dusty Baker. Man, what a career Dusty Baker has had as a player, as a manager and also as a position coach as well. Dusty's been around Major League Baseball forever, so highly respected. So, I mean, his stature, his credibility is through the roof and then some. And also, Dusty will definitely be a future first ballot Hall of Famer one day. And Dusty finally got over that hump of winning a World Series championship, his first as a manager. Now, may I remind you, prior to him winning a World Series as a manager, he won a World Series as a player in 1981 with the Los Angeles Dodgers, but he had yet to win his first World Series championship as a manager. And he did it becoming a part of the 2022 Houston Astros staff. Now, as I mentioned earlier, Dusty began his career as a player for the Atlanta Braves, followed by the Los Angeles Dodgers, the San Francisco Giants, and the Oakland Athletics. And then we talk about a great managerial run that he had as a career as a manager, being the manager of the San Francisco Giants. Who could forget his run with the Chicago Cubs? Of course, we know about what happened in 2003, the World Series with the Cubs being there, having a chance to win, the whole Bartman situation that's in the past, and then a solid run with the Cincinnati Reds, and then he had a solid run with the Washington Nationals. But now with the Houston Astros, man, finally getting over that hump and winning his first World Series title as a manager. And when it's all said and done, Dusty Baker is definitely going to have a place in the Hall of Fame. I mean, Cooperstown will definitely call him one day and say, hey, Mr. Baker, congratulations. You've earned a spot in the Baseball Hall of Fame, the National Baseball Hall of Fame that is in Cooperstown, New York. So congratulations, long overdue for Dusty Baker. For my last storyline is going to be the Philadelphia Phillies. So we've talked about the Houston Astros and we talked about Dusty Baker handling their business, winning the big one. The Philadelphia Phillies, I mean, no one expected this team position. I mean, let's face it, the Phillies from April until the early part of June, they were a team that was in disarray. They were losing. They had no direction. Their manager, Joe Girardi, was fired. In comes Rob Thomson as the interim manager of the Phillies. And since Thomson took over, the Phillies went on a roll before the All-Star break and after the All-Star break. Everything just went in the right direction. And despite them being in the wild card series against the St. Louis Cardinals, no one gave them a chance. Well, guess what? They proved everybody wrong this year. The Phillies handled their business, beating the Cardinals in the wild card series. They went on to beat the Atlanta Braves in the division series, and they went on to beat the San Diego Padres in the National League Championship Series. Think about this. The Cardinals offensively were solid all year long with the likes of Nolan Arenado and Paul Goldschmidt. The Atlanta Braves, what can you say about the Braves? The defending World Series champions, the Phillies embarrassed them. And then in the National League Championship Series going up against the San Diego Padres, this year's trade deadline, the Padres were decimated and the Phillies handled their business going to San Diego, taking one from them in San Diego's home territory, and then they come to Philly and they seal the deal. And even though they fell short to Houston in a six-game series, I'm looking forward to what's to come for the Philadelphia Phillies. This is a team that definitely has all of their ducks in a row. For the most part, a lot of their core guys will be back next year. Kyle Schwarber, Bryce Harper, Aaron Nola. Also, you've got Zach Wheeler, just to name a few, Ranger Suarez. Those guys are going to be good. Sir Anthony Dominguez, he'll be back as well. So the majority of the core guys will be back next year. And Philadelphia will not go anywhere anytime soon. They're definitely going to compete, not just in the National League East, but really in all of the National League to try to get back to the big dance, the Fall Classic. That is the World Series. All right, when we come back from the break, I'll give you the scores from the 2022 World Series between the Houston Astros and the Philadelphia Phillies. I'm Ed Robinson, and you're listening to the season finale of Extra Base Hit.
Not a millionaire, darling. To retire at St. James Place, you don't have to be. Take a look at St. James Place. It just might be more affordable than you think. Learn more at stjamesplaceinfo.org. So, darling, you're not a millionaire. If you want to retire at St. James Place in Baton Rouge, well, you don't have to be to live the active, enriching, and fun retirement you've planned and saved for. So forget what you've heard and take a look at St. James Place. It just might be more affordable than you think. Learn more and schedule a visit at stjamesplaceinfo.org. That's stjamesplaceinfo.org. Not a millionaire, darling. To retire at St. James Place, you don't have to be. Take a look at St. James Place. It just might be more affordable than you think. Learn more at stjamesplaceinfo.org.
145 over 92.
180 over 111.
182 over 100. And I had a heart attack and a cardiac arrest. And then a stroke.
This is what high blood pressure looks like. You might not feel its symptoms, but the results from a heart attack or stroke are far from invisible or silent.
My memory is shot.
When I woke up, I couldn't speak.
I can't button up a shirt. I can't run.
I've had to learn to swallow again.
That's the only movements that I have. And I'm 33, so I never see this coming.
If I would have followed a treatment plan, I would not be in this situation.
Had I done this, had I done that,
hell, I messed up.
Get back on your plan. Or talk with your doctor to create an exercise, diet, and medication plan that works for you. Go to loweryourhpp.org.
Head to toe, everything's changed. Head to toe.
Not a millionaire, darling. To retire at St. James Place, you don't have to be. Take a look at St. James Place. It just might be more affordable than you think. Learn more at stjamesplaceinfo.org.
Meet Extended Stay America Select Suites, a new place like home with spacious apartment-style suites and full kitchens. With Extended Stay America Select Suites, you get real simple value. The longer you stay, the more you save. Learn more at esa.com.
Not a millionaire, darling. To retire at St. James Place, you don't have to be. Take a look at St. James Place. It just might be more affordable than you think. Learn more at stjamesplaceinfo.org.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. Now let's give you a recap of the 2022 World Series between the Houston Astros and the Philadelphia Phillies. Of course, the Phillies were the National League champions and the Houston Astros were the American League champions, and that sets the stage for a six-game series, a thrilling six-game series. Let's start off with Game 1, which was played at Minute Maid Park in Houston, Texas, between the Phillies and the Astros. Philadelphia would steal Game 1. The final score was 6-5. The winning pitcher was Sir Anthony Dominguez, and the losing pitcher was Luis Garcia, and getting the save was David Robertson. And the getting home runs for both teams, first for Philly was JT Realmuto, and getting a home run for Houston was Kyle Tucker. Again, the final score in Game 1, Philadelphia 6, Houston 5. Philadelphia went on to lead the series 1-0. We move along now to Game 2 of the World Series, and Houston would tie the series up at 1-1. Final score, Houston 5, Framber Valdez, and the losing pitcher for Philadelphia was Zach Wheeler. And hitting a home run in the game for Houston was Alex Bregman. Again, the final score, Houston 5, Philadelphia 2. The series would be tied at 1-1. We move along now to Game 3 as the series shifted to the East Coast in Philadelphia at Citizens Bank Park. This was a showcase of offense for Philadelphia, as well as pitching as well. Philadelphia would shut out Houston 7-0. The winning pitcher for Philly was Ranger Suarez, and the losing pitcher for Houston was Lance McCullers Jr. Hitting home runs for Philadelphia was Bryce Harper, Alec Bohm, Brandon Marsh, Kyle Schwarber, and Rhys Hoskins. Again, the final score in Game 3, Philadelphia 7, Houston 0. Philadelphia leads the series 2-1. Game 4 stayed in Philadelphia, and this one belonged to the Houston Astros. Houston's off-team that made the difference, getting a no-hitter in this game for Houston, a combined no-hitter, that is. The final score was Houston 5, Philadelphia 0. The winning pitcher was Christian Javier, and the losing pitcher was Aaron Nola. And again, as I mentioned earlier, what was so significant about this game was that a combined no-hitter was pitched by the Houston Astros. Christian Javier was sensational as he pitched 6 innings on 97 pitches without allowing a hit. He struck out 9 batters and he walked 2. And then he was relieved by pitcher Brian Abreu, who struck out the side in the 7th inning. Rafael Montero came in and pitched a hitless 8th inning for the Astros. And then Astros closing pitcher Ryan Pressly would pitch in the 9th inning and allowed a walk, but completed the no-hitter, and that's how the game was won for the Houston Astros. And again, what's so significant is that this was the first combined no-hitter in Major League Baseball postseason history. This was the first time ever in the history of the playoffs that a combined no-hitter was pitched. And this was also the second no-hitter in World Series history after Don Larsen pitched the perfect game in 1956. Larsen did it for the New York Yankees in Game 5 of the 1956 World Series, as they would go on to beat the Brooklyn Dodgers in Game 5 of that game. And it's also the third no-hitter in postseason history after Roy Halladay threw a no-hitter for the Phillies at Citizens Bank Park in the 2010 National League Division Series against the Cincinnati Reds. So, man, this is, wow, this is interesting. A lot of history that was made in Game 4. So, again, this was the first combined no-hitter in playoff history. This was the second no-hitter in World Series history. And this was the third no-hitter in postseason history. So a lot of history was made that night. And, again, Game 4 belonged to the Houston Astros, beating Philadelphia. So, again, the series was tied at 2 apiece. So we move along now to the deciding, well, not the deciding, but always in a long playoff series, Game 5 is known as the rubber match. Game 5 is known as the game where the tide can turn. In which direction will it go, towards the home team or the road team? Well, Game 5 from start to finish was, I mean, it was it had you on the edge of your seat. If you didn't watch Game 5, you missed out on a great one because it was phenomenal. After a rain delay, after the rain delay that had happened, it was supposed to be played the day before, but they had to reschedule it. And as a result of that, they had to be played the next day. So nevertheless, we were ready for action between Houston and Philadelphia in Game 5. It was a close one, but Houston would hold on to win 3-2. The winning pitcher for Houston was Justin Verlander. The losing pitcher was Noah Syndergaard, and getting the save was Ryan Pressly. Hitting a home run for Houston was Jeremy Pena, and hitting a home run for Philadelphia was Kyle Schwarber. So as a result of that, you know, this, again, as I mentioned earlier, Game 5 is always the rubber match. This is always the game in a long series where the tide can turn a bit. It can either go left or it can go right, but the direction swung Houston's way, as again, Houston would win 3-2. Houston would now lead the series 3-2 with a comfortable series lead heading back to Houston for Game 6. And so here we are, the decided, what could be the deciding game in the 2022 World Series. Game 6 shifted back to Minute Maid Park in Houston, Texas, and everything went well for Philly until the 6th inning when Zach Wheeler was pitching for the Phillies, and Wheeler allowed 2 runners on base. Manager of the Phillies, Rob Thomson, changed and bring in reliever Jose Alvarado, and that's when things took a turn for the worse. Yordan Alvarez hits a 3-run home run. As they say, the rest was history. Houston, it was onward and upward for them. They never looked back, and the Astros would go on to win Game 6, final score 4-1, giving Houston its first World Series championship in 5 years, and also giving Dusty Baker his first World Series as a manager. And, man, again, Houston would beat Philadelphia 4-1. Framber Valdez was the winning pitcher. The losing pitcher was Zach Wheeler, and getting the save was Ryan Pressly. Hitting home runs in this game, first for Philadelphia, Kyle Schwarber, and for Houston, Yordan Alvarez. And again, what a World Series this was, man, between Houston and Philadelphia. This was, a series of styles. You had Houston and hitting going up against the grit and the work ethic and the never-say-die attitude of the Philadelphia Phillies. And if you missed this series, man, there's plenty of video where you can catch up on the highlights. And it was just outstanding from start to finish. And becoming the World Series MVP was rookie Jeremy Peña. And Jeremy shined bright. Jeremy came alive in the postseason this year. Last year, it was Eddie Rosario for the Atlanta Braves. This year, it's Jeremy Peña from the Houston Astros. And what can you say about him? The man just did his thing, and just it's always about those players that show up at the right time, at the right moment. And as they say, there's always those impact players when it comes up, when it matters the most. And Jeremy Peña, he showed up and showed out in this series. And man, congratulations to Jeremy. Congratulations to Dusty Baker, and congratulations to the Houston Astros for winning the 2022 World Series title. All right, to talk more about this series, when we come back from the break, I have an interview with Cade Kistner. Cade is a publisher for Inside the Phillies. Inside the Phillies is a blog site on Fan Nation, which is powered by Sports Illustrated. The blog site covers Major League Baseball's Philadelphia Phillies. We recap the Phillies' 2022 World Series run, what's next for the Phillies, and more. Cade is coming up after the break. I'm Ed Robinson, and you're listening to Extra Base Hits.
Not a millionaire, darling, to retire at St. James Place.
You don't have to be. Take a look at St. James Place. It just might be more affordable than you think. Learn more at stjamesplaceinfo.org.
So, darling, you're not a millionaire. If you want to retire at St. James Place in Baton Rouge, well,
you don't have to be to live the active, enriching, and fun retirement you've planned and saved for. So forget what you've heard and take a look at St. James Place. It just might be more affordable than you think. Learn more and schedule a visit at stjamesplaceinfo.org. That's stjamesplaceinfo.org.
Not a millionaire, darling, to retire at St. James Place.
You don't have to be. Take a look at St. James Place. It just might be more affordable than you think. Learn more at stjamesplaceinfo.org.
Business today looks nothing like it did yesterday. While it's more unpredictable, its possibilities are endless. At ADP, turning unpredictability into an advantage is what we do. Using data-driven insights, we design HR solutions to help businesses work better, smarter, so they can think beyond today and find even more success tomorrow. HR, time, talent, benefits, payroll. ADP, always designing for people.
MFS Investment Management. Our active 360 approach to fixed income goes beyond analyzing financials. We combine active security selection and risk management, striving to make the most of complex bond markets. MFS.com/active360.
Did you know headlights dim over time? You can lose up to 50 feet of visibility before burnout. Stop in to replace yours at Advance Auto Parts, your dependable source for auto lighting today. Snag a new pair of Sylvania Silver Star Ultra Bulbs and brighten up those darker fall and winter nights. Switch today, see better tonight. And don't forget to replace your wiper blades and change your oil to ensure you're prepared to hit the road. Only at Advance Auto Parts and participating CarQuest locations. See store for details.
This is how we advance.
MFS Investment Management. Our active 360 approach to fixed income goes beyond analyzing financials. We combine active security selection and risk management, striving to make the most of complex bond markets. MFS.com/active360.
Did you know headlights dim over time? You can lose up to 50 feet of visibility before burnout. Stop in to replace yours at Advance Auto Parts, your dependable source for auto lighting today. Snag a new pair of Sylvania Silver Star Ultra Bulbs and brighten up those darker fall and winter nights. Switch today, see better tonight. And don't forget to replace your wiper blades and change your oil to ensure you're prepared to hit the road. Only at Advance Auto Parts and participating CarQuest locations. See store for details.
This is how we advance.
3-2 from Garcia. Realmuto shoots one in the air the other way. Back goes Tucker at the wall. It's gone! Realmuto starts the 10th with a go-ahead shot.
Two gone and a scoreless first inning. McCullers to Harper.
It's good. Right center field. Lightning strikes. 2-0 Bills.
Alex Holmes starts the second and rips one to left field over Alvarez and gone! Ambrose! 2-0 from McCullers. Marsh hits a fly ball to right field. Tucker drifting back to the track, to the wall. He can't get it. It's off the top of the wall and gone! Schroeder tries it to center field. McCormick's going back. He's at the track. He's at the wall. Gone! Wow! Monstrous blast! With a drive, left field, wow! Schroeder turns on a ball, deep right field, and gone! Of course he did! Punch, counter punch.
Let's see on 2-2.
It's a fastball, and it's cranked to right field, and it's gone! Astros blink first, Schwarber with a blast.
Hoskins starting the ninth. Pops it up. Tucker, Astros, 1 in the ninth inning, bases empty, one gone, J.C. Realmuto lines the ball into center field and the Phillies have hope. He slices a pop into left, Yordan Alvarez, the Astros are one out away. Castellanos, there goes the runner, fly ball down the right field line, Tucker comes on, Kyle Tucker, this time they finish the job! The Houston Astros, world champions!
All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. That audio is courtesy of Major League Baseball and Fox Sports. That was Joe Davis giving the play-by-play. Of course, those were highlights of the Philadelphia Phillies in a great 2022 regular season that they had, of course. The highlight package that you heard with the Phillies in action during the 2022 World Series with the likes of Kyle Schwarber, of course, also JT Realmuto, followed by Bryce Harper, Alec Bohm, also Brandon Marsh, Reese Hoskins, all hitting home runs. But they came up just short in the 2022 World Series, losing to the Houston Astros, but nevertheless a fantastic season for the Phillies. To talk more about the Phillies World Series run, we want to welcome him back to the program. He is a publisher for Inside Phillies. Of course, it's a part of the Fan Nation broad program that's a part of also of Sports Illustrated. Again, he's the publisher for Inside the Phillies, Cade Kastner. Hey, Cade, welcome back, my man.
Hey, how are you?
All is well, sir. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us on the program. So, Cade, what were your takeaways from the Philadelphia Phillies 2022 World Series run?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of that the Phillies are feeling and the fans. It's one of those things, too, where you look at it and the Phillies, you know, quote, weren't supposed to be there, right? And then they come in and they take, you know, one from the Astros in game one, and then they take the first one at home. And so you got to imagine the Phillies were feeling pretty good after the first three games, you know, taking two of them. But at the end of the day, right, the Astros kind of felt, you know, inevitable in a way. They're just, you know, they're from top to bottom, that roster is very deep. The lineup is incredible. The pitching is arguably even more so. And the Phillies, you know, they kind of met their match in the World Series. But, you know, throughout the course, they really put up a really good fight. And I think that the Phillies have something to build on now. They made the postseason. They kind of, it was kind of a cakewalk for them all the way to the World Series. And they kind of know, you know, who they are now. Identity. And now they have something to build on going into the 2023 MLB season.
Indeed, they definitely have something to build upon, because you said at the beginning, you said no one expected Philly to be there. I didn't expect the Phillies to be there. A lot of people were pulling for St. Louis in terms of the National League, St. Louis or San Diego. But the Phillies, I guess it's tried and true of the fictional character of Rocky. They clawed and fought their way to the top, and they got to this year's World Series. I want to talk about JT Realmuto for a moment. He had a nice series for the Phillies. He hit a home run in game one of the series. Give me your thoughts on JT's play against the Astros.
Yeah, JT was one of those players that was a bright spot for the Phillies, where especially in the lineup behind the dish. It was really cool seeing him receive his gold glove in Philadelphia. I believe it was game four, right before game four, something like that. And he proved why he won that gold glove award. You know, he makes some really good plays. He calls really great games behind the plate. And then at the dish, you know, he hit really well. Home run in game one. And then, you know, he almost got to play hero again in game, I believe it was five or six, I think it was six, when Kyle Tucker, not Kyle Tucker, I'm sorry, Chaz McCormick. Yeah, it was game six, Chaz McCormick. Yeah, game one, two, three, four. Game, I'm so sorry, excuse me. Anyway, he had some really good hits. He played really well. The overall line for the Phillies did not hit very well at game three when they had all those home runs. They tied the World Series record for home runs. So outside of that game, the Phillies lineup was pretty abysmal, but JT Realmuto, kind of one of those guys that every time he stepped up to the plate, he had a good at-bat, and he had some really big hits in the World Series. And it just goes to show why the Phillies prioritized his extension, and you know, didn't want to let him walk. So JT once again a really good postseason, and he continues into the World Series as well.
Rightfully so. And speaking of somebody that handled their business, as you said, you're glad they didn't let JT walk. How about these two gentlemen that played well? We talked about them the last time you were on the program, Rhys Hoskins and Brandon Marsh. I tell you one thing, both of these gentlemen have become cult heroes in the city of Philly. Now, Rhys was sensational in the divisional series, and then Brandon had a great run coming into the playoffs. He was a little disappointing in this World Series run. Give me your thoughts on Rhys and Brandon in the series against the Astros.
Yeah. So Hoskins has kind of always been the face of the franchise for the Phillies. He does a lot for the city. He's, you know, before Bryce Harper got there, he was kind of the guy. And now he's kind of like Mr. Philadelphia. However, Phillies fans are really hot and cold on Hoskins, in the same way that Hoskins is kind of hot and cold at the plate. You saw Hoskins kind of make a big defensive blunder in game six that kind of helped, you know, start a rally for the Astros. His defense was kind of off the mark for the majority of the playoffs. He's not a great defensive first baseman, but his bat, when it's hot, has the ability to carry the team through a stretch. Unfortunately, his bat kind of went cold, and by kind of, I mean it went ice cold. And in the World Series, that was evident. He just looked lost. And that's one of those guys where, if you're going to win a World Series, if you're going to be a championship-caliber team, and especially when you're facing the Astros, you need a guy like Rhys Hoskins to kind of step up and be the guy that he can be. And unfortunately, he just wasn't that guy during the World Series. Brandon Marsh, another one of those guys, the Phillies traded for him at the trade thing. They gave Mickey Moniak to the Angels. It was a one-for-one player swap. Brandon Marsh kind of – sorry, they all gave Logan Ohapi. Anyway, but – Marsh kind of came in. He's this elite defensive center fielder. He's got a nice flat swing with a lot of power. And like you said, he kind of impressed, you know, down the stretch. He had some good moments in playoffs. And the World Series, another one of those guys that was platooned at center field with Matt Vierling, because his bat really wasn't getting the job done. And outside of an error, Marsh did play elite out in center field, and that's what they hired him to do, or so they traded for him to do. And he has, you know, he's still a rookie. He's got a lot of development left to go, and so that was a really good moment and a really good experience for Marsh, especially moving forward going to be the everyday center fielder for the Phillies.
All right, I want to talk now about Alec Bohm. Again, Alec, similar to Reese and Brandon, were great in the postseason run, but when it came time to the World Series against Houston, his bat cooled off as well. Give me your thoughts on Alec and his play against the Astros.
Yeah, Alec is another one of those guys, and it kind of just goes to show almost the entire Phillies lineup kind of went cold against the Astros pitching. I mean, they were no hit, in game four. And Alec Bohm, is one of those guys, too, where he gets on a hot streak and he can kind of help carry a team. And all of these guys that we've talked about between, Bohm and, Reese Hoff and a few of the other guys were really hot to start the postseason. And that's why they kind of cakewalked their way to the World Series. And then they cooled off. Now, whether they cooled off or it was the Astros' elite pitching or a combination of both, Alec Bohm was another one of those guys that kind of succumbed to, and he put up a couple good at-bats. He hit that home run in game three when they kind of got homer happy. But that, Alec Bohm really was not impressive, and he really didn't really kind of do his part at the plate. He had a couple good at-bats, but you have to put it all together at the right time to win the World Series. Again, Alec Bohm, a young guy, inexperienced in these types of games, just wasn't really able to get it done in the World Series.
Well, somebody that got it done in this series, despite Philly coming up short, was Bryce Harper. I mean, he did his thing defensively, and of course, just a great playoff run for Bryce, and then did his thing against the Astros. Give me your thoughts on Bryce and his play against Houston.
Yeah, Bryce is a great leader, right? He could only play the designated hitter position because of his elbow injury that he occurred early on in the season. We should know here pretty soon whether or not that's going to require surgery or not. But, he was a guy, he stepped up, he was a leader. He's, he's been in, these types of situations before. Not as much as maybe a guy like Kyle Schwarber has, but, Harper has one of the better postseason runs of any position player ever. And so that carried over into the World Series. And again, unfortunately, with the no-hitter, he was held, hitless in game four. And then in game six, when they kind of really needed him, he came up short there. But as a whole, if you put the entire product together, Bryce Harper had an incredible postseason run. And on top of that, he did play pretty well against the Astros. Again, it's just hard for any position player to really gain any type of momentum at the plate when you're facing a gauntlet of, Justin Verlander, Lance McCullers, Christian Javier, and obviously Framber Valdez. So you're not going to find a whole lot of success against those guys if you don't get to them early.
And you mentioned his name earlier, Kyle Schwarber. He's really the only one on the team with World Series experience. And, he's a great offensive player and also a solid defender, but his bat was on point the whole time throughout this series. Give me your thoughts on Kyle and his play against Houston.
Yeah, Kyle was one of those guys that if you were a Phillies fan or if you were just a Phillies in general, you wanted him at the plate as often as possible. And that's one of the reasons that he hits leadoff, or at least he did throughout the entire postseason. It's because it gives him more opportunities to get to the plate to make a difference. I know there's a big argument whether or not he should have been hitting third or fourth instead of leadoff, but you want your guy who's hot to be hitting as many times per game as possible. So that's why he's at the leadoff position. And he did. He hit some really big home runs. He put the ball in play. He drew lots of walks. And he really didn't fumble out in the outfield on defense. And he was a guy that was always cool, calm, collective. In the clubhouse, the players were leaning on him. Even after they lost game six and lost the World Series, I remember going in there into the clubhouse, and he's sitting around with, some guys like Matt Vierling and other guys, and they're just kind of drinking a beer, and they're kind of just cutting up, and they're happy they were there. They're happy for the experience, but they're more excited to get to next season and continue this journey because they just see this as a building block, as a stepping stone. And the reason they have that mentality, or a large part of the reason they're thinking this way, is because of Kyle Schwarber and the way that he's able to lead those guys and kind of give that clubhouse that mentality.
Yeah, rightfully so, and definitely a Schwarber bringing that experience. He's definitely the one that's going to take Philadelphia into the right direction for next year. Last time I had you on, Cade, we talked about the rotation. It was going to be a case of several matchups in the series with Houston's pitching against Philadelphia's offense, and it would be Philadelphia's pitching versus Houston's offense, and Houston's bats were smoking in this series. I want to talk just kind of a little bit about a couple of the pitchers in the series for Philly, starting off with Zach Wheeler and Aaron Nola. They brought heat, but they ran into some jams, and as I mentioned earlier about Houston's offense really taking control throughout much of this series. Give me your thoughts on Zach and Aaron's play in this series.
Yeah, so Aaron Nola, you know, he got the start for game one, and so they kind of wanted to give Zach Wheeler some extra rest. Aaron Nola went out there. He not super great, but enough to where the Phillies were kind of able to keep it close and then win it in kind of stunning fashion in game one. But Aaron Nola, throughout the NLCS as well, he kind of started to falter. He had some really great starts, perfect through, I believe it was 5 or 6 innings against the Astros in his final regular season start, and then was incredible throughout the wild card and the NLDS. And then the NLCS, you could kind of start to see him falter a little bit, and that continued into the World Series. And then Zach Wheeler kind of did the same thing. He was kind of faltering there in the NLCS, and then his first matchup against the Astros in Game 2, which the Phillies lost. But then you had the rain delay, games got pushed, Zach Wheeler got a couple extra days of rest, and then he went out there in game 6 with everything on the line, and he performed really well. He looked exactly like the ace that he is kind of toying to be, and he pitched really well. And so it was kind of almost a head-scratching move for him to be pulled after 5 1/3 inning in game 6 in an elimination game. But I think when you look at these guys' performance, throughout the postseason, you get into the World Series, you have to remember that these guys are not used to pitching into November. And Zach Wheeler also, dealt with some elbow tendonitis, so he got a little bit of time off. But he also had the most amount of innings pitched in the National League last season. I believe it was 212 innings. So he's coming off of a really big workload in 2021, and now he's pitching deep into the postseason in 2022. So I think you're seeing maybe a little bit of fatigue from these guys. And so it's just one of those things. It's a long season. And unfortunately, your top two guys that each both pitched 2 games in the World Series, they came up a little bit short. And again, that's really hard to kind of come back from, especially when your lineup, the Phillies lineup, is being limited with the opportunities they have because of the elite pitching that the Astros have on the other side.
I want to stay just with Zach for a moment. And watching game 6, I know there were 2 runners on base around in the 6th inning. If you were Rob Thompson, would you have allowed Zach to stay in and finish the inning, or do you think he made the right call by putting in Jose Alvarado despite allowing runs from the Astros?
Yeah, so this is one of those decisions I've talked about on a few other programs as well. It's one of those damned if you do, damned if you don't kind of things, right? Zach Wheeler at 5-1, so he's in the 6th inning, guying out. He has a runner on 1st and 3rd. But his velocity wasn't really dropping, and ace, right? If you're going to win a World Series game, you keep your ace in there, and you ride him, you ride it, ride or die. But at the same time, you've got Rob Thompson, who decided to bring in Alvarado, who on paper is a really good matchup against Yordan Alvarez. And so if everything plays out the way that Rob Thompson was thinking, Alvarado, goes out, gets the easy 2 outs, and then maybe he's able to come back out for the 7th inning. And you limit the damage that was done, and you keep the game right where it's at. So I understand the decision that Rob Thompson made. At the end of the day, though, talking to Zach Wheeler in the clubhouse afterwards, he was incredibly surprised that he was taken out of the game in that situation. And so if it was me, I don't know. I feel like that situation could have gone either way, but I feel like if you're going to win a World Series, you have to rely and lean on your ace, especially when he's having a really good game like he was. And I feel like Wheeler probably should have been afforded the opportunity to finish up the sixth inning. But again, you know, Alvarado goes out there and gets, you know, Alvarez and a couple other outs and comes back out for the seventh, then, you know, we're all riding with Philly Rob, right? So, yeah, I'm not really quite sure what I would have done in that position. That was definitely a tough one.
Indeed, it was a tough one. When I saw that decision being made, I was like, oh, this is a – okay, I thought they would have attempted to let Wheeler finish the inning, but like you said, it's a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation. But nevertheless, the Houston Astros go on to win the 2022 World Series title. And I wanted to stay with more of the Phillies rotation for a moment. Rangers Juarez, he was solid, wound up winning game three of the series. Just give me your thoughts on Ranger and his play in the series.
Yeah, he was incredible, right? I mean, you can't – there's nothing bad to say about that guy. And you just look at his story. You know, he's a middle reliever, then he became the closer in 2021, and then he just moved to the rotation at the end of the 2021 season. He had a shortened spring training due to a visa issue in Venezuela. So it took him a little while to get ramped up and back to his, you know, normal production levels in 2022. But once he did, he was solid, and he was incredible throughout the postseason. He had some really good starts. He helped close out the NLCS out of the bullpen. And then he had a really good start in game three, you know, when, you know, the Phillies won and hit all those home runs. And he just kind of seemed unhittable. And that's a big part of his mentality, too, is, no situation is too big for him. It doesn't matter if it was, you know, game number, 14 in the regular season, or if it was, you know, game three of the World Series. His heartbeat is always low and slow. He's just kind of a flatline guy. He loves pitching. He will do anything for his team in any situation. And he proved that all year long. He's proved that throughout his career, and he proved that in the World Series. So he was absolutely a bright, especially as a number three starter.
All right, and then Sir Anthony Dominguez also started a game in the series. Yeah, as a matter of fact, he won game one for the Phillies. Just give me your thoughts on his performance in this contest.
Yeah, so Sir Anthony, you know, he's this big power fastball type guy, you know, kind of a late inning type guy, you know, seventh, eighth, ninth type of pitcher. And so he looked kind of shaky. He kind of started to look a little shaky in the NLCS when they had that the rain that was coming down in Philly in game five against the Padres. And since then, he kind of just didn't necessarily look right. He had a couple of good outings, you know, a couple of good innings here and there throughout the six-game series in the World Series. But overall, I think it was kind of a long year for him. He was asked to do a lot of things he wasn't used to doing and put in a lot of situations he wasn't used to. Especially whenever you get into high-pressure situations like the postseason. And again, it was a learning experience for him, just like all these guys. And I think he'll be better for it. But again, you know, Sir Anthony's one of those guys that you were kind of hoping would be a little bit more clutch in the moment in the World Series. But again, I'm not trying to take away from his performance at all. But yeah, he definitely looked a little bit more shaky in the World Series than he kind of had throughout the rest of the postseason, and especially through the second half of the regular season.
All right, and last time I had you on the show, we talked about manager Rob Thomson. We talked about how Joe Girardi was fired in June, and then Thomson comes in as the interim, and then they wind up awarding him with a contract. And what a season that he had, considering how the Phillies, from April through the early part of June, they just seemed like a team that was headed nowhere, and then all of a sudden with Thomson taking over as the manager of the team, they just go on this wild ride and then, of course, make surprising everybody by being in the World Series. Just give me your thoughts on Rob and his 2022 season.
Yeah, Rob Thomson was incredible when he stepped in, and he earned every penny of his new two-year extension or contract, right? One thing I'll say about him is I'm really surprised that he wasn't named a finalist for the National League Manager of the Year. I think that was kind of a big snub. And that's not just me, you know, covering the Phillies or anything like that. You just look at what he did for that team. He turned them around from 22 and 29 when he took over to getting to game six of the World Series against the Astros, you know, the same Astros team that just swept the Yankees in the ALCS. And another thing, too, about Rob Thompson is that all season long and all the way throughout the postseason, you know, he made decisions in-game. And he kind of – he's a baseball lifer. He knows the flow of the game. He can feel the game, and he makes decisions based off of that. And there's only one decision that I can look back on throughout his entire tenure as the Phillies manager, interim manager, that was kind of questionable, and that was pulling Zach Wheeler in Game 6. And so if you go back and you look at, you know, the entire sample size, you know, Rob Thompson is just this steady, even guy. The players love him. He loves the players. They feel comfortable around him. And obviously you see what that did for the team. And so that's one of the, he's one of those guys that you want to keep around and you want leading the baseball team. And to be quite frank, you know, you see what he's done, and it's utterly surprising that he hasn't had the opportunity to manage a big league club until this point.
All right, solid. Definitely brighter days are ahead, and the future looks bright for Rob Thompson as the manager of the Phillies. And now let's move forward now, look ahead a little bit to the 2023 season for the Phillies. So, Cade, I want to know what's next for the Phillies. I want to start off with Gene Segura. He is a free agent. Gene was spectacular in the playoff run for the Phillies. Unfortunately, he was nowhere to be found in the World Series matchup against the Astros. What's next for Gene? Will the Phillies make any attempts to make him, to try to bring him back, or is he looking for greener pastures somewhere else?
Yeah, Gene was really good throughout the postseason. He's been really good for the Phillies throughout his entire tenure with them. The Phillies declined the team option as a $17 million team option for 2023. That was expected, declined, and it was. So, he, like you said, he's now a free agent. I don't think the Phillies try and bring him back. I think they're thankful for what he did for the team and who he was as a player. And, you know, not the best of him when they needed him the most. But, you know, now Bryson Stott, you know, he's at shortstop all year, played really good defense there. But he feels a little bit more at home at second base, which is where Segura plays. And so I feel like the Phillies are going to move Bryson Stott over to second. You'll probably see his defense improve a little bit. He's improving as a hitter. And the Phillies will probably try and go after one of these four star shortstops. And, again, I don't see them bringing Segura back, just because Segura is not going to want a bench role. He's a better player than that. So he'll definitely be looking to probably get on with another team here in free agency.
I want to talk about the pitching rotation. Justin Verlander is expected to be a free agent. Is there any chances? Are the Phillies going to try to make a run for him? Are they going to try to, I guess, put all the cards on the table and try to land Verlander in Philly? Or do you think he plans to finish his career in Houston?
So, actually, we just wrote an incredible piece on this. Alex Carr did over at Inside the Phillies for us, and why the Phillies should pursue Verlander. So he's 39. He'll be 40 by the time the 2023 season rolls around. The issue, though, with Verlander is he's probably looking for a two or and the $40 million a year range. That's something the Phillies can't afford, absolutely. But then it kind of begs the question of whether or not they can then go get a shortstop like Trey Turner or Xander Bogaerts. But one thing about Verlander is that no matter what team he lands on, you know, he doesn't look like he's close to retiring anytime soon, and his peripheral numbers on the mound show that he's really not due for any type of regression. And he's come. This is his first year coming off of Tommy John surgery, so you imagine that he's only going to get, you know, stronger, right? And the further away he gets from that surgery, he would be a good fit with the Phillies in the sense that one of their rotation spots is probably going to be awarded to a guy like Andrew Painter or Micah Bell or Gary. You know, all three of them are top pitching prospects, not just within the Phillies organization, but within all of baseball. And Andrew Painter and Micah Bell in particular have drawn comparisons to Justin Verlander. So the argument is there that you bring in Justin Verlander to kind of be a mentor to these guys, and you've seen it work with Cole Hamels in Atlanta, even though he only pitched, I think, like one inning or something like that during his tenure with the Braves. The impact that he had on those young Braves pitchers was incredibly evident. And so Verlander, if the Phillies bring him on, would also be hoping that he can kind of take on that role with these younger top pitching prospects the Phillies have. I don't really see the Phillies pursuing a starting pitcher at the top of the market, and rather focusing on a middle infielder like Bogarts or Trey Turner, just because you have that 1-2 punch at the top of the rotation already with Nola and Wheeler. And then you've got Ranger Suarez, who's proven that he can be a very steady and reliable number three pitcher. And then again, maybe they go out and get a guy to kind of solidify that fourth spot, and then a young guy like, Andrew Painter or somebody like that to kind of come up and get some major league time as the fifth starter. So we'll see, but I think Verlander would be a really good fit for the Phillies. I think he'd be a good fit for a lot of teams, though. I just think it's hard to see the Phillies playing in the starting pitching market, at least at that level.
I want to stay just with pitching for a moment. The Phillies had their issues at the closing pitcher position this past season. Will the Phillies try to make a run in free agency to get a closing pitcher, or do you think they're comfortable with who they have in the bullpen?
I think they're comfortable with who they have in the bullpen with Alvarado and Dominguez. You look at the free agent pitchers they went out and got last year, and Corey Knebel, Jairus Familia, and then they traded for Brad Hand, right? All three of these were pretty big names, supposed to be kind of reliable guys, and all three combined put up 0.1 wins above replacement. So that's pretty terrible when you look at the amount of money that was spent on these guys. So you're definitely going to see the Phillies probably go out and add somebody. Again, I don't think they're going to add like a superstar closer or trade for one or sign one, just because I think they feel pretty comfortable with Alvarado and Dominguez at the back end of the bullpen. And then you've seen Andrew Bilotti kind of come in as well, and he's really impressed throughout the season or postseason, as well as Connor Brogdon. So you might see the Phillies add, you're going to see the Phillies add a couple bullpen pieces, but I don't think they're going to go out and trade for, an all-star closer or anything like that. I think they already believe those guys are in the clubhouse.
You mentioned one of the big free agents in this free agent period, and that's Xander Bogaerts. And there's some other great free agents out in the market. Do you see the Phillies trying to make a push for Xander, or do you see any other free agents that could catch the Phillies' eye?
I think they're really high on Xander Bogaerts and Trey Turner. Phillies are betting favorites to land Bogaerts, and they were the betting favorites until this morning to land Turner. So those kind of flip-flopped as of this morning. Not that, betting odds matter at all, but it does kind of give you some frame of reference for where maybe the Phillies are going to be focusing. But we've also heard from, there's a lot of interest in these guys. Xander Bogaerts obviously played for the Red Sox when Dave Dombrowski was there, and so there's a previous relationship there as well. Trey Turner and Bryce Harper have a good relationship from their time in Washington. Trey Turner is plays really great defense at shortstop. He's fast. He's got a really good, consistent bat. He's a prototypical leadoff hitter. So I think that Turner there automatically makes the Phillies a force to be reckoned with. They already are, that lineup. But you add a guy like Trey Turner to the leadoff spot, and you add him, on deep over at shortstop, and that kind of helps get rid of that defensive liability, because right up the middle you've got, at that point, JT Realmuto, and then you've got Bryson Stott, who's a good defensive second baseman in this scenario, Trey Turner, and then an elite defender in Brandon Marsh out in center. So that would kind of, in my opinion, be the best case scenario. That being said, Xander Bogaerts has the best bat out of any of these four available shortstops, out of Turner, Swanson, and Carlos Correa. So it wouldn't surprise me to see them snag guys. I think Turner probably is a little bit better of a fit, but either one of these guys between Bogaerts and Turner would be an incredible pickup for the Phillies. And, if I was a betting man, I'd put my money on the Phillies getting one of those two.
Yeah, all three of those guys are definitely formidable players with Bogaerts, Turner, and Correa. Definitely all great. And speaking of being all great, Philadelphia is a passionate sports city. And I've got to ask you this, Cade, what was the atmosphere like for those Phillies games? Because I know the last time the World Series was – that was the last time the World Series was played in Philadelphia was 2008. So I know that was a long time coming. What were the fans like in Philly at Citizens Bank Park?
Yeah, it was incredible. It really, really was. They were I've never seen it like that. And in baseball, you know, home field advantage is, you know, some people say you can take it or leave it. It really doesn't make a difference, this or that. And that's partially true. You know, in sports like football, you know, I've covered the New Orleans Saints, and the Superdome is one of the loudest stadiums I've ever been in. And it truly gives, you know, the home team, in that case the Saints, a really good gives them an actual home field advantage. I will say Citizens Bank Park during the entire postseason, but especially the World Series, was unlike any stadium I've ever seen. I don't think I saw anyone sitting down. Everyone was on their feet. Everyone was loud. And especially when the Phillies got out ahead early, the crowd, I mean, they just didn't give the Astros none. And it was just incredible to witness, and that's unlike anything I've ever seen at any sports stadium, much less in baseball. So credit to the Phillies fans. They really helped propel their team through the postseason and really gave the Phillies a distinct advantage when playing at home in the World Series.
Philadelphia, definitely a unique city and definitely a very passionate sports city. And you heard it from him. He's Cade Kastner. He is the publisher of Inside the Phillies, which is a part of Fan Nation, which is ran and owned by Sports Illustrated. Cade, thank you so much again for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us. Just tell everybody what's going on over at Inside the Phillies.
Yeah, well, thanks for letting me on the program again. Always fun talking with you. And again, my name is Cade Kastner. You can find us on Inside the Phillies at si.com/MLB/Phillies. Also on Twitter at Inside Phillies SN. We've got some really great content we pump out every single day. Right now we're kind of focusing on the Rule 5 draft coming up, as well as, you know, free agents. And so it's a really good time to kind of hop in and get yourself acquainted with the off season and the goings on. It's arguably almost as interesting as what actually happens during the season if you're into that kind of stuff. So we've got some really great work from some really talented writers over. So, again, Inside the Phillies, you can find us.
Awesome. And tell everybody where they can find you on social media, Cade, as well as Inside the Phillies and any websites. Let the listeners know that as well.
Yeah, again, you can find me on Twitter at Cade Kastner, K-A-D-E Kastner, K-I-S. NER, and you can find my site's Twitter at DiePhilsFN. And then again, our website, you can just type in InsideThePhillies.com or SI.com/MLB/Phillies.
Awesome. And you heard it from him. He is Cade Kastner, publisher for Inside the Phillies, which is a part of Fan Nation, which is owned by Sports Illustrated. Cade, again, thank you so much for being on the program. And if ever you want to come back on, just feel free to let us know.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Talk to you soon.
All right. You're welcome. We'll be back with more right
3-2 from Garcia. Realmuto shoots one in the air the other way. Back goes Tucker at the wall. It's gone. Realmuto starts the 10th with a go-ahead shot. Two gone and a scoreless first inning. McCullers to Harper. It's good. Right center field. Lightning strikes. 2-0 Phillies. Alec Bohm strikes the second and rips one to left field over Alvarez and gone! Ambrose! 2-0 from McCullers. Marsh hits a fly ball to right field. Tucker drifting back to the track, to the wall. He can get it. It's off the top of the wall and gone! Schwarber drives it to center field. McCormick's going back. He's at the track. He's at the wall. Gone! Wow! Monstrous blast! Hoskins with a drive, left field, wow! Schwarber turns on a ball, deep right field, and gone! Of course he did! Punch, counterpunch. Let's see on 2-2. It's a fastball, and it's cranked to right field, and it's gone! Astros blink first, Schwarber with a blast. Hoskins starting the ninth. Pops it up. Tucker. Astros. One in the ninth inning. Bases empty. One gone. J.T. Realmuto lines the ball into center field, and the Phillies have hope. He slices a pop in the left. Yordan Alvarez. The Astros are one out away. Castellanos. There goes the runner. Fly ball down the right field line. Tucker comes on. Kyle Tucker. This time they finish the job. The Houston Astros, world champions.
Business today looks nothing like it did yesterday. While it's more unpredictable, its possibilities are endless. At ADP, turning unpredictability into an advantage is what we do. Using data-driven insights, we design HR solutions to help businesses work better, smarter, so they can think beyond today and find even more success tomorrow. HR, time, talent, benefits, payroll. ADP, always designing for people.
Did you know headlights dim over time? You can lose up to 50 feet of visibility before burnout. Stop in to replace yours at Advanced Auto Parts, your dependable source for auto lighting today. Snag a new pair of Soldania Silver Star Ultra Bulbs and brighten up those darker fall and winter nights. Switch today, see better tonight. And don't forget to replace your wiper blades and change your oil to ensure you're prepared to hit the road. Only at Advanced Auto Parts and participating CarQuest locations. See store for details.
This is how we advance.
Getting a job at McDonald's means getting a job combo that fits you, like flexible scheduling with a side of working close to home, or feeling appreciated with a side of hours that work for you. So what's your job combo? Apply today at careers.mcdonalds.com.
Get benefits like bonus pay, flexible scheduling, an employee emergency relief fund, and more. Apply today at careers.mcdonalds.com or text APPLY to 38000. Jobs you apply for may be in a restaurant owned by a franchisee, not McDonald's. Franchisees are responsible for all employment at their restaurant.
MFS Investment Management. Our active 360 approach to fixed income goes beyond analyzing financials. We combine active security selection and risk management, striving to make the most of complex bond markets. MFS.com/active360.
Meet Extended Stay America Select Suites, a new place like home with spacious apartment-style suites and full kitchens. With Extended Stay America Select Suites, you get real simple value. The longer you stay, the more you save. Learn more at ESA.com. Did you know headlights dim over time? You can lose up to 50 feet of visibility before burnout. Stop in to replace yours at Advance Auto Parts, your dependable source for auto lighting today. Snag a new pair of Soldania Silver Star Ultra Bulbs and brighten up those darker fall and winter nights. Switch today, see better tonight. And don't forget to replace your wiper blades and change your oil to ensure you're prepared to hit the road. Only at Advance Auto Parts and participating CarQuest locations. See store for details.
This is how we advance.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino online.
I was only playing for fun, so winning was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's favorite free online social casino. You, too, could have the chance to win life-changing cash prizes. Absolutely anybody could be like Mary. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumboCasino.com and play for free now. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18-plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of the winner. Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino online.
I was only playing for fun, so winning was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's favorite free online social casino. You, too, could have the chance to win life-changing cash prizes. Absolutely anybody could be like Mary. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumboCasino.com and play for free now. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18-plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of the winner.
Did you know headlights dim over time? You can lose up to 50 feet of visibility before burnout. Stop in to replace yours at Advance Auto Parts, your dependable source for auto lighting today. Snag a new pair of Soldania Silver Star Ultra Bulbs and brighten up those darker fall and winter nights. Switch today, see better tonight. And don't forget to replace your wiper blades and change your oil to ensure you're prepared to hit the road. Only at Advance Auto Parts and participating CarQuest locations. See store for details.
This is how we advance.
Business today looks nothing like it did yesterday. While it's more unpredictable, its possibilities are endless. At ADP, turning unpredictability into an advantage is what we do. Using data-driven insights, we design HR solutions to help businesses work better, smarter, so they can think beyond today and find even more success tomorrow. HR, time, talent, benefits, payroll. ADP, always designing for people. Businesses need to think beyond today. That's why ADP uses data-driven insights to design HR solutions to help your business find more success tomorrow. HR, time, talent, benefits, payroll. ADP, always designing for people.
Everybody, welcome back to the program. Once again, a big special thank you to Cade Kistner, publisher for Inside the Phillies, the blog site on Fan Nation, which is powered by Sports Illustrated, covering Major League Baseball's Philadelphia Phillies. Again, a big special thank you to Cade appearing on the program. All right, before we get on out of here, let's give you the winners of the 2022 Major League Baseball Season Awards. Let's start off with the National League Rookie of the Year Award. Congratulations to Michael Harris II from the Atlanta Braves. And the American League Rookie of the Year belongs to Julio Rodriguez from the Seattle Mariners. What a rookie season that Julio had for Seattle. Again, a congratulations to the National League Rookie of the Year for the Atlanta Braves, Michael Harris II. And from the American League, for the American League Rookie of the Year from the Seattle Mariners, Julio Rodriguez. The National League Manager of the Year belongs to Buck Showalter from the New York Mets, and the American League Manager of the Year belongs to Terry Francona of the Cleveland Guardians. Again, congratulations to the National League Manager of the Year, Buck Showalter from the New York Mets. What an unbelievable first year that Buck had as the manager of the Mets with the great talent that he has with the likes of Pete Alonso, Francisco Lindor, Starling Marte, just to name a few. I mean, what a season. The best can only get better for the Mets. And again, a congratulations to American League Manager of the Year from the Cleveland Guardians, Terry Francona. What a bright future for Terry and, of course, for the Guardians of Cleveland with great talent with the likes of Jose Ramirez, just to name a few. The National League Cy Young Award winner belongs to Sandy Alcantara from the Miami Marlins. And the American League Cy Young Award winner is Justin Verlander from the Houston Astros. I tell you one thing, Sandy and Justin were in the top five in every major pitching category in their respective leagues. Of course, Sandy being a member of the National League with the Miami Marlins, and you know about Justin Verlander being a part of the American League as a member of the new World Series champion Houston Astros. So congratulations again to the National League Cy Young Award winner, Sandy Alcantara from the Miami Marlins, and the American League Cy Young Award winner from the Houston Astros, Justin Verlander. The National League Most Valuable Player of the Year Award belongs to Paul Goldschmidt from the St. Louis Cardinals. What an unbelievable season that Paul had. Again, he was in the top five in every major offensive category, whether from batting average to home runs, RBIs, hits, runs scored, you name it. Paul was just in every It was in the top five in every major offensive category. Congratulations to him. And, of course, the American League Most Valuable Player Award belongs to who else? Here comes the judge. All hail the judge. Aaron Judge from the New York Yankees. You know the historic season he had becoming the American League record holder, the most home runs in a single season, breaking Roger Maris's record. And, of course, Aaron finished the regular season with 62 home runs. And, of course, Roger Maris's record was 61. So, again, congratulations to the National League MVP Award winner for this year, Paul Goldschmidt from the St. Louis Cardinals, and the American League Most Valuable Player Award winner from the New York Yankees, Aaron Judge. It's now time for the Gold Glove Award winners. First, in the pitcher position, the Gold Glove Award winner for the National League at the pitcher position belongs to Max Fried from the Atlanta Braves. And for the American League, Shane Bieber from the Cleveland Guardians. Again, congratulations to the Gold Glove Award winners for the pitcher at the pitcher position from the National League, Max Fried from the Atlanta Braves. and from the American League, Shane Bieber from the Cleveland Guardians. Before I continue, the Gold Glove Award winners basically goes to the players that excel on the defensive side for at their respective positions. Again, the Gold Glove Award winners are the winners that play excellent that have of the regular season. So for the National League and the American League at the pitcher position, from the National League, Max Fried from the Atlanta Braves, and from the American League, Shane Bieber from the Cleveland Guardians. They were this year's Gold Glove Award winners at the pitcher position for exemplifying the best defense at their respective position. Let's move along now to the catcher position. The Gold Glove Award winner in the National League belongs to JT Realmuto from the Philadelphia Phillies, and from the American League, Jose Trevino from the New York Yankees. So again, congratulations to the Gold Glove Award winners at the catcher position from the National League, JT Realmuto from the Philadelphia Phillies, and from the American League, Jose Trevino from the New York Yankees. Let's move along now to the first base position. Christian Walker from the Arizona Diamondbacks wins the National League Gold Glove Award winner at first base. And for the American League, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. from the Toronto Blue Jays. So again, congratulations to the Gold Glove Award winners at the first base position from the National League, Christian Walker from the Arizona Diamondbacks, and from the American League, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. from the Toronto Blue Jays. Gold Glove Award winner at the second base position at the National League. First for the National League, Brendan Rodgers from the Colorado Rockies, and from the American League, Andrés Giménez from the Cleveland Guardians. Again, congratulations to the Gold Glove Award winners at the second base position from the National League, Brendan Rodgers from the Colorado Rockies, and from the American League, Andrés Giménez from the Cleveland Guardians. Next position that we have is third base. The Gold Glove Award winner at that position for the National League, Nolan Arenado from the St. Louis Cardinals. What a phenomenal season that Nolan had. Nolan is one of the premier two-way players in Major League Baseball, getting it done on the offensive and the defensive side. Congratulations to Nolan on winning that award. And representing the American League is Ramon Urias from the Baltimore Orioles. So again, congratulations to the Gold Glove Award winners at the third base position. For the National League, Nolan Arenado from the St. Louis Cardinals, and for the American League, Ramon Urias from the Baltimore Orioles. We move along now to the shortstop position. The Gold Glove Award winners at that position first for the National League, Dansby Swanson from the Atlanta Braves, and for the American League, the World Series MVP, Pena from the Houston Astros. Again, congratulations to the Gold Glove Award winners at the shortstop position. For the National League, Dansby Swanson from the Atlanta Braves, and from the American League, Jeremy Pena from the Houston Astros. Next up, we have at left field, the Gold Glove Award winner for the National League, Ian Happ from the Chicago Cubs, and from the American League, Stephen Kwan from the Cleveland Guardians. Congratulations to the Gold Glove Award winners at the left field position for the National League, Ian Happ from the Chicago Cubs, and for the American League, Stephen Kwan from the Cleveland Guardians. Next position is center field. The National League Gold Glove Award winner at that position, Trent Grisham from the San Diego Padres. And then we have for the American League, Miles Straw from the Cleveland Guardians. So congratulations to the Gold Glove Award winners at center field. For the National League, Trent Grisham from the San Diego Padres, and from the American League, Miles Straw from the Cleveland Guardians. Next position, right field. Representing the National League, the Gold Glove Award winner for the National League at the right field position, Mookie Betts from the Los Angeles Dodgers. And for the American League, Kyle Tucker from the World Series champion, Houston Astros. So again, congratulations to the Gold Glove Award winners at the right field position from the National League, Mookie Betts from the Los Angeles Dodgers, and for the American League, Kyle Tucker from the Houston Astros. And finally, at the utility position for the American League and the National League, starting off with the National League Gold Glove Award winner at the utility position is going to be Brendan Donovan from the St. Louis Cardinals. And for the American League, DJ LeMahieu from the New York Yankees. Again, congratulations to the Gold Glove Award winner at the utility position, first for the National League, Brendan Donovan from the St. Louis Cardinals, and for the American League, DJ LeMahieu from the New York Yankees. So congratulations to all of the Gold Glove Award winners. And then finally, the Silver Slugger Award winners, first at the designated hitter position. Now, let me remind you, the Gold Glove Award winners focuses on defense, the best defensive players at their positions. The Silver Slugger Award winners, the awards goes to the players that excelled at their respective positions on an offensive level. So here we are with the Silver Slugger Award winners. First at the designated hitter position, the National League Silver Slugger Award winner goes to Josh Bell of the San Diego Padres and the Washington Nationals. And representing the American League, from the world defending World Series champion Houston Astros, Yordan Alvarez. What a season Yordan has had. Yordan is one of the best offensive players in baseball right now, one of the premier power hitters. So again, congratulations to the Silver Slugger Award winners at the designated hitter position. Josh Bell representing the National League from the San Diego Padres and the Washington Nationals, and representing the American League, Yordan Alvarez, representing the Houston Astros. Next position, the catcher position. The Silver Slugger Award winner from the National League, JT Realmuto from the Philadelphia Phillies, and representing the American League, Alejandro Kirk from the Toronto Blue Jays. So again, congratulations to the Silver Slugger Award winners at the catcher position, JT Realmuto from the Philadelphia Phillies and Alejandro Kirk from the Toronto Blue Jays. Next position, first base. The Silver Slugger Award winner representing the National League, Paul Goldschmidt from the St. Louis Cardinals. What a phenomenal year Paul had. As I mentioned earlier, he's the National League MVP, being top five in every offensive category in the National League, and wins the Silver Slugger Award winner at first base for the National League. And for the American League, Nathaniel Lowe from the Texas Rangers. So again, congratulations to the Silver Slugger Award winners at the first base position for the National League, Paul Goldschmidt from the St. Louis Cardinals, and from the American League, Nathaniel Lowe from the Texas Rangers. Next position is going to be second base. The Silver Slugger Award winner for the National League is going to be Jeff McNeil from the New York Mets. What a great year that Jeff had this year. Was in the top 10 in batting average, hits, and runs scored. Jeff really did wonders for the team out of Queens, New York, the New York Mets. And for the American League, Jose Altuve from the World Series champion Houston Astros. What can you say about Jose? Jose is only like 5'6", and he hits home runs like nobody's business. One of the premier power hitters, despite only being like 5'6", and maybe like a close to 165 pounds, but that dynamo is something else. And Jose has just been one of the premier players, and he's definitely someone that's in his prime right now at the second base position. So again, congratulations to our Silver Slugger Award winners at the second base position for the National League, Jeff McNeil from the New York Mets, and from the American League, Jose Altuve from the Houston Astros. Next position, third base. The Silver Slugger Award winner at that position for the National League, Nolan Arenado from the St. Louis Cardinals, and from the American League, Jose Ramirez from the Cleveland Guardians. What a great year Nolan had. Again, Nolan was in the top 10 in every major offensive category in the National League, and as far as Jose Ramirez is concerned, same thing, was in the top 10 in every offensive category in the American League. So again, congratulations to the Silver Slugger Award winners at the third base position, first for the National League, Nolan Arenado from the St. Louis Cardinals, and Jose Ramirez representing the American League. He's a member of the Cleveland Guardians. Next position that we have is the Silver Slugger Award winner at that position, the next position that we have is shortstop, and the National League Silver Slugger Award winner at the shortstop position representing the National League is Trey Turner from the Los Angeles Dodgers. Again, Trey, a phenomenal year this year, being responsible for the great season that the Dodgers had, having the best record in all of Major League Baseball. Trey finished in the top 10 in every major offensive category. And for the American League, Xander Bogaerts from the Boston Red Sox. So congratulations to the Silver Slugger Award winners at the shortstop position. First for the National League, Trey Turner from the Los Angeles Dodgers, and from the American League, Xander Bogaerts from the Boston Red Sox. Next position is outfield. The Silver Slugger Award winners for the National League in the outfield position, Mookie Betts from the Los Angeles Dodgers, Kyle Schwarber from the Philadelphia Phillies, and Juan Soto from the San Diego Padres. Need I say more about Mookie? I mean, Mookie Betts is a player that's definitely in his prime right now. We are watching greatness year in and year out. Mookie has been a league MVP, multiple All-Star, and we know what he can do on the defensive side, and he's definitely low slouch on the offensive side. Kyle Schwarber, Phillies, one of the premier power hitters in Major League Baseball. And, of course, Juan Soto, which was the highlight of this year's trade deadline and made San Diego 10 times better as be joining the team as a result of the big trade deadline with him and Josh Bell going to the Padres from the Washington Nationals. And for the American League, Julio Rodriguez from the Seattle Mariners, Mike Trout from the Los Angeles Angels, and the American League MVP, Aaron Judge from the New York Yankees. First for Julio Rodriguez, this year's American League Rookie of the Year. What a fantastic year he had bringing Seattle back to a national, bringing Seattle back to the national spotlight. Mike Trout, again, one of those once-in-a-lifetime talents. If you haven't had the chance to watch the Angels play this year, you got to check out Mike Trout. Phenomenal. And, of course, Aaron Judge, a landmark year that he had. The American League MVP, breaking Roger Maris's American League single-season home run record. What more can you say about him? Just a phenomenal player. So congratulations to our Silver Slugger Award winners at the outfield position from the National League, Mookie Betts from the Los Angeles Dodgers, Kyle Schwarber from the Philadelphia Phillies, and Juan Soto from the San Diego Padres. And from the American League, Aaron Judge representing the New York Yankees, Julio Rodriguez representing the Seattle Mariners, and Mike Trout representing the Los Angeles Angels. And finally, the Silver Slugger Award winners at the utility position. First for the National League, Brandon Drury from the San Diego Padres, and representing the American League, Luis Arias from the Minnesota Twins. Brandon, of course, coming over from Cincinnati. San Diego struck gold in the trade deadline this past year. And, of course, alongside Juan Soto and Josh Bell. And, of course, Manny Machado. Brandon was big, coming up big with some major hits for San Diego. And Luis Arias representing the American League with the Minnesota Twins. Luis was this year's batting champion. He won this year's American League batting title. And what can you say about Luis? Luis was a bright spot for Minnesota this year. So congratulations to our Silver Slugger Award winners at the utility position for the National League, Brandon Drury from the San Diego Padres, and from the American League, Luis Arias from the Minnesota Twins. And then also we have the Fielding Bible Awards. And again, this goes to, this recognizes the best defensive player at their respective position. And, of course, at the pitcher position, Ranger Suarez from the Philadelphia Phillies. At the catcher position, Jose Trevino from the New York Yankees. At first base, Christian Walker from the Arizona Diamondbacks. At second base, Brendan Rodgers from the Colorado Rockies. Third base, Nolan Arenado from the St. Louis Cardinals. At shortstop, Jorge Mateo from the Baltimore Orioles. At left field, Stephen Kwan from the Cleveland Guardians. At center field, Miles Straw from the Cleveland Guardians. At right field, Mookie Betts from the Los Angeles Dodgers. And at the multi-position, we have Tommy Edman from the St. Louis Cardinals. So congratulations to those gentlemen for winning the Fielding Bible Awards, and definitely well-deserved and great defensively at their respective positions. And, of course, some other awards to pass along to you. The Hank Aaron Award winner, first for the American League, Aaron Judge from the New York Yankees, and Paul Goldschmidt from the St. Louis Cardinals representing the National League. So congratulations to the Hank Aaron Award winners from the American League, Aaron Judge from the New York Yankees, and Paul Goldschmidt from the National League, representing the St. Louis Cardinals. And finally, we have the Roberto Clemente Award. This award is given to the Major League Baseball player who best exemplifies the game of baseball through sportsmanship, community involvement, and the individual's contribution to his team. This is basically like a humanitarian award. And this year's Roberto Clemente Award winner goes to Justin Turner from the Los Angeles Dodgers. So again, congratulations to Justin Turner from the Los Angeles Dodgers for winning the Roberto Clemente Award. And a congratulations to all of the season award winners. Man, what a season it was. Congratulations to the new Rookie of the Year, Manager of the Year, Cy Young Award winner, also the MVP Award winners, and congratulations to the Golden Glove, the Gold Glove Award winners, the Silver Slugger Award winners, and the Fielding Bible Award winners. And again, congratulations, but also a big special thank you to our guest on the program, Cade Kistner, publisher for Inside the Phillies, a blog site on Fan Nation, which is powered by Sports Illustrated. The site covers Major League Baseball's Philadelphia Phillies. Again, a big special thank you to Cade Kistner. And that's going to do it for the season finale of Extra Base Hit. Thank you so much to you, the listeners, for tuning in to the show month in and month out, week in and week out from time to time. From the regular season to the postseason, we had you covered, and we hope we did the best job possible. Until next time, everybody, I'm Ed Robinson saying so long, and you've been listening to Extra Base Hit.
Getting a job at McDonald's means getting a job combo that fits you, like flexible scheduling with a side of working close to home, or feeling appreciated with a side of hours that work for you. So what's your job combo? Apply today at careers.mcdonalds.com.
Get benefits like bonus pay, flexible scheduling, and employee emergency relief fund and more. Apply today at careers.mcdonalds.com or text APPLY to 38000. Jobs you apply for may be in a restaurant owned by a franchisee, not McDonald's. Franchisees are responsible for all employment at their restaurant.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino online.
I was only playing for fun, so winning was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's favorite free online social casino. You, too, could have the chance to win life-changing cash prizes. Absolutely anybody could be like Mary. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and play for free now. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18-plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice of the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of the winner. Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino online.
I was only playing for fun, so winning was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's favorite free online social casino. You, too, could have the chance to win life-changing cash prizes. Absolutely anybody could be like Mary. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and play for free now. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18-plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of the winner.
Lucky Land Slots, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18-plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.